Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Excellent. It's good to see people not seen for a little while. Hi, Rolla. Good to see you. And good to see new faces, old faces. Smiley faces, I think, but I'm not sure. As somebody said this morning, we have to smile with our eyes. Is that not the case? And so let's relax this morning. Let's be at peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you welcome us with wide open arms to enjoy your presence, to enjoy worshipping you with others. Thank you that you've given us this opportunity, and may we be at peace in your presence. Amen. Two notices, really. Firstly, just to say we're hoping to have our children a couple of times a month out with Rowena and Angela in room one, as we've done before during last summer. And so if you'd like to be a helper, so we had two adults to go out with our children. If you'd like to be a helper on a rota basis to help with either Angela or Rowena, if you could have a word with Andrew or speak to me, you'll need to be DBS cleared if you're not already, but that could be sorted. And it's just that we'd love to have our children in our services, and we want to mix up being here all the time and sometimes during the sermon being upstairs so they can have a bit of time just on their own. So do come back to me. And don't think you're too old or you don't know anything about children. Because you all were children once, I do believe. Is that the case? Some more picklish than others, not looking at Pam at all. But yes. Secondly, just a thank you. And it's lovely when you get a thank you card through the post, isn't it? And it says, "Hi, Stephen, just to say thank you for having me while the Brixton Baptist Church was closed. Please give your congregation my warmest Christian love." And that was from Raymond Smiles. And so thank you, congregation, for welcoming Raymond, giving him a smile, making him feel at home. And that's a lovely thing to be able to do for somebody, to make them feel at home while they're feeling a bit lost, not able to join with people. And it's good to be a blessing, and it's also good to say thank you. So we thank Raymond for his card. So, welcome to our service of worship. This second Sunday after Easter, still rejoicing in the victory of Jesus Christ over death and living in the reality of his resurrection. As we heard before, last week, because he's alive, we're alive. God has given us a new beginning as a church family. We are at a new start. And later on, we're going to be looking at what happened at the very beginning of the early church and the lesson that this has for us now. To start our service today, we're going to enter into what happened at the very beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost. By the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, men, women, children, worship God. Jesus died and rose again, not just to save us from our sins, but to give us the right to become children of God through faith in him. That's what happened on that day of Pentecost. Not only did people worship, not only people were baptized, but they came into the kingdom and they were born again as children of God. God, who is love, is our Father. And I know from speaking to many people over many numbers of years that so many of us struggle with the idea of God as our Father, because we haven't necessarily had very good role models in fatherhood, or we just find it too mind-blowing that the awesome God could be our Father. But this is the truth. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are God's children by grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we come to worship today, we're having a time of worship with a number of songs that we can't sing. Others are going to sing for us. We can speak the words, use our bodies in other way to worship. Feel free to sit or stand. The banners are at the front here to be used, so come and grab them, because some of the songs lend themselves to using something more than just our arms. And we're starting to think in our worship of the wonder of God being our Father. Abba, Father, thank you for loving us so much, adopting us as your children. Help us to know more of your great love for us today, and help us to worship you with all our heart. Thank you, Claire.
Father in heaven, how we love you.
We lift your name in all the earth.
Praise my
soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise the everlasting King. Let's have this for our own words of praise to add to these wonderful words that we've been given.
You are worthy, so worthy of all our worship, all our praise, all our love and all our adoration. We worship you this morning, together, collectively, in your name. Amen.
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 Isn't it just wonderful to know whatever happens, I am his and he is mine. Nothing can change that. And Jesus said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. We just give you thanks. All my praise. Thank the sun in the sky, for every sign of new life around us during the spring. Thank you that we're able to be gathered together again this morning. And above all, we thank you for the new life we have in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 We thank you, Father, that that life doesn't finish when we die, and that life continues. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And all the new life that we see down here is only a shadow of what Jesus is going to do, because he actually said that I'm going to make all things new when the kingdom comes. He sets up his kingdom and he said I will make all things new. All this that you knew in the past will be gone. Everything will be forgotten. He'll wipe away every tear, every memory, and everything will be new. Hallelujah.
Thank you for this glorious and thank you that while we're waiting, you are Father. You tend and you spare us. You know our feeble frame. In your hands, you gently pick us up. You rescue us from everything that comes against us. We praise you. Widely, your mercy flows. Abundantly, your grace flows to each one of us here, each of our families, those that we know, those that would love to be here but can't at the moment. We thank you. Your grace is flowing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have a new beginning in the life of our country and our church family. Where do we start? What do we do? And the question seems to me is, firstly, is who do we start with? What's the answer to every question in church?
Jesus.
And it applies to this case. Who do we start with? Who do we start this new beginning with? It's the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It's every day, as a number of us this morning, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. It's a new day with Jesus. We've been focusing on Jesus over the last few weeks in our worship, our messages, our songs, our drawings. Last week we had some wonderful drawings. Jesus is risen. We start with him. After his resurrection, Jesus rebuilt his relationship with the 11 apostles because they'd all denied him and run away from him. He rebuilt that relationship. He was their Lord. He was their Savior. He was full of grace for them. And then before he ascended, he gave them what we now call the Great Commission, our scripture for the year. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And this is Jesus' commission to us too, to go and make disciples. Now, whether we've been doing this or not, whether continually or just every now and then, I believe that God has given us a new beginning, a new opportunity to do this. And he gives us the same promise that he gave them. We've heard it already this morning. And surely I am with you to the very end of this age. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you to the very end of the age. And as we go out making disciples, we are joining in with what Jesus is doing, bringing people back to God. How are we going to do this? We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without him. The first thing we need to do, like those first disciples, is receive the Holy Spirit. If we've never received the Holy Spirit, we can pray now. If we need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit, we can pray now. So that's what we're going to do before we do anything else. Jesus, we pray that you will give us your gift of the Holy Spirit. Whether for the first time or for the umpteenth time, refilling us with your Holy Spirit. A spirit of worship, a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. A spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. A spirit that makes us more like you, Jesus, and enables us to tell others the good news. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray, now. Amen. Now, I need two volunteers. We haven't been able to do much interactive with our children at the moment, so I'm looking firstly for children. I need two volunteers, and you can see I've got a hammer and I've got a spade. So, do you want to help me, Paul or Taya or Connie? Do you want to help me? It's not very difficult. Just need you to act a bit. We'll help you. Do you want to help me? Yeah, go on then. You two? Okay, come on then. Which one you grab first? Which do you want, the spade or the hammer? There's a spade there or a hammer here. They have been sanitized in advance, so you're allowed to pick them up. Which do you want to go for? Make a move, Taya. You go first. You don't have to hit anybody with it. Paul, which one are you going to go for? Hammer? Spade or hammer? Ooh, dicky decision. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to read a story, but we're going to act it out. You're going to... Okay, great. That's it. Grab the hammer and grab this. It's heavy. Don't drop it. You can put it down for a moment. Have a rest for a moment. Right. Who knows what's going to come with this story? I bet you do. We're going to act this out, but you can't blow. So we've got to be creative. Therefore, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, if you're going to build a house on a rock, you're going to need a hammer. So this is your point. Okay? Would you like to pick that up? That's why you've got a spade. You've got rock, and you've got to really hit it hard. You can pretend to hit it hard if you like. So build your house with your hammer. Hit something. The floor, preferably. No, it's a heavy hammer. I don't want you hitting anything with it. This is the wise man who had the hard job of breaking into the rock with a very heavy hammer and a pick. I would have brought the pickaxe, but it's too heavy to carry up the road. The rain came down. Can we have some actions, please? The rain came down on this house. The rain came down, and the streams rose. Oh, very good. Aren't they good, Taya? They're very good. The streams rose, and the winds blew. And beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because its foundation was on the... Stamp your foot. Yes, right, you put it on rock. You built your house on rock. So you're all right. Your house is okay. Oh dear. Would you like to pick up your spade? Where do you use this, Paul? Where do you use a spade like this? Where do I do it? Making sandcastles? On the beach? This is Sophia's spade. And you use it to make... And it's really easy. You don't need to work hard breaking up rock. You just get your spade in and do that. I did a sandpit once in our garden to do a pond, and Leslie thought I was going through to Australia. It's just so easy when it's sand. So, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and does not put them into practice, is like a foolish man. Can you be foolish, Paul?
Oh, I'm foolish. Oh, I'm foolish.
Excellent. That's as good as you're going to get. That's right. So, he's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down. The rain came down. And the streams rose. The streams rose. The winds blew and beat against that house. This is the acting part, Paul. And it fell with a great crash. Can you fall down, please? Or do I have to make you? Mum, would you like to be the wind and the storm that has made him fall down? Would you like to make him fall down? I'll let you do that. I'm not allowed to touch anybody. Round of applause, please. And now back up. Back up. What up, Paul? Excellent. Paul, you were not happy about that, were you? You were not happy about that. And the lesson from that is, do what Jesus tells you, and then you stand firm. If you don't, somebody comes along and bashes you and knocks you over and you fall on the floor. And it's not pleasant. It fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Thank you very much. Round of applause for our helpers, please. Put that down carefully. Thank you. So, can we have the picture up, please? What I'd like you to do for your activity today, Connie and Taya, Paul, I'd like you to retell the story on the packs you've got. Have you got your two packs of you? Great. No. Mark, could you get two for us? Thank you. On your bits of paper, and if you need more paper, there's paper here. I'd like you to retell that story. Okay? Mum and Dad can find it in Matthew chapter 7. And I'll look up the page number in a moment. Matthew chapter 7, that's where you can find the story. I'd like you to retell the story. You could just do like this. You see there's a house on the top, which is built on the rock. It's not like that cliff that fell down earlier this week, which is a sandy cliff. You've got the house on the rock on the top, and you've got the house on the sand. And which one's fallen down? The house on the sand. And that's the way we haven't listened to what Jesus said. We haven't done, put it into practice. So retell the story. You could do it in cartoon form. You could go through each step of the story, or you could just do one picture. Do lots of rain coming down, streams coming up, winds blowing. But I'd like you to tell the story. Again, this isn't just something for you to do so you don't get bored. This is a vital thing that relates to what we're going to be talking about now. Over to you guys. So, while they're doing that, let us think. Making disciples. What could we do? There are so many things we could try individually and as a church. And we could get confused, distracted, or just paralyzed by thinking, what do we do in following Jesus? And I thought, well, let's go back to what the first church did, the early church did, when they first started. What did they do? What were the things that they did that were a foundation for everything that happened later? And Dennis is going to bring our reading for us. And in Acts chapter 2.
Starting a couple of verses.
It's earlier than we've got written there.
Yes, our reading is Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 36, going on to verse 47. Page 1094. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Yes. So Luke records 3,000 newly baptized believers from the day of Pentecost devoting themselves to four things. And today we're going to look at the first one that was mentioned there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We've heard how Jesus commissioned the apostles to go out and teach everyone to obey all that Jesus had told them. But you can't teach if you don't have someone who wants to be taught. It's a two-way relationship. You can have great teachers, but if no one's interested in learning, then no teaching is going to take place. So these believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. It was a priority which they took very seriously, and they committed a lot of time and energy to it. What do you think they learnt, these first disciples, these first Christians? The apostles taught the believers to obey everything that Jesus had commanded them. That's what the children are doing their pictures about, reminding us that Jesus had said, look, these are my commands, put them into practice. So what were they? As you read the Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, you see Jesus teaching the disciples many things. Some were written down. There were lots of things that weren't written down. Jesus told the apostles that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would give them in his name, would remind them of everything that he'd said to them. These men were not scholars, and there was a lot to be reminded of. You imagine if you had been around with someone for 3 years and they were a teacher, would you be able to remember everything they had taught over the last 3 years? My brother might, because he has a photographic memory. As long as it was written down, he'd be all right. But otherwise, not a chance. But the Holy Spirit was there to remind them of what Jesus had said. Jesus had taught about so much. About God, about his kingdom, prayer, relationships, parents and children, food, drink, humility, generosity, compassion, evil, the devil, righteousness, peace, justice, truth, riches and poverty, sickness and healing, separation and reconciliation, heaven and hell, what to look at, what not to look at. Jesus taught about everything, about all aspects of life, real life. He also made it clear his word was to be obeyed. It's not a very fashionable word, that, is it? Being obedient. His word was to be obeyed. If you obey Jesus' words, it's like building your house on the rock. And when troubles come, and they will come, you will stand. If you don't put his teaching into practice, it's like building your house on the sand. And when the rain, the wind, the flood comes, crash. The apostles would also have taught about things that Jesus gave some teaching on, but they would have expanded on it. About the cross, why Jesus died, the resurrection of Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the breaking of bread, how we pray, all sorts of things. So the question for each of us to answer today is, have we devoted ourselves to the apostles' teaching, the teaching of Jesus, as an individual, as a family, as a church? Are we devoted to the apostles' teaching? Have you committed time and energy to reading the Gospels, the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, which points to Jesus, the book of Acts, telling us of the early church, and the letters that give us answers to so many questions, that give the theology, the explanation of what was going on? Why should we do it? It's always a good question to ask. I'm saying you should devote yourself to the apostles' teaching. So should I. But why? There are many, many reasons, but I'll give you a few. The first one, it's loving God. Because this is love for God, to obey his commands. Jesus says, "Let my words abide in you." So number one reason why we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching is because Jesus tells us to. We can't obey God's commands if we don't know what they are. Is it in tax law, I think, that ignorance of tax law is no defense for tax evasion? So if you've not paid your taxes, well, I didn't know, it's no excuse. There we are, thank you, Ian. So we have to find out what pleases the Lord. Secondly, life. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." Who wants life? Yes, who wants to be spiritually alive? Good. Most people put their hands up. That's good. Excellent. We need life. Jesus asked this question. You know, are you going to leave me as well, when everyone was leaving? John chapter 6. And Peter said, "Lord, you have the words of eternal life. To whom else would we go? A really important one now. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith in God's word, in God's promises, comes as we read them and we then believe them and then we put them into practice. Faith in God's promises, say, yes, what you've said is true and I'll build my life on your promises. Release God's blessing and power into our lives and for all those we connect with. A long time ago, it seems a long time ago, and over 4 years ago now, there was a time, and Leslie, she'll tell you the story, when she was dying, and God gave a word based upon Psalm 139. Your day will come, but not today. This is not your day. Coming from Psalm 139, all the days of our life were written in your book before one of them came to be. And because of faith in that word, that God's in charge of our days, he numbers our days, a word could be spoken and Leslie's life was saved. God's word, God's promises are to be believed and relied upon and give us faith for everyday living. There's also particularly, I want to think about today, that sense of preparation. The reason we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching is because we don't know when we're not going to be able to do so in the way we used to. We don't know when we'll need to rely on what we have already learned. We read that in Acts chapter 8, that very soon in the life of the early church, a great persecution came up after the death of Stephen against the church. And all the believers, apart from the apostles, were scattered away from Jerusalem. No more apostles' teaching. Not in person, anyway. Now, you may say to me, this isn't going to happen to us. We're not going to have a great persecution that suddenly scatters all Christians away from church ministers and church buildings. But one thing that COVID has taught us is that things can change in an instant. Who would have thought a year ago that we wouldn't be able to meet on Mothering Sunday for 2 years running? We wouldn't be able to meet at Easter last year in church in our normal way. If we rely on being in a particular building on just one day a week for our apostles' teaching, what happens when that's no longer available? When change comes? Whether in our personal circumstances or countrywide restrictions. You see, for some people, they've come week after week. Suddenly they can't, for health reasons or some other reason. And actually they're lost. Because they've not been in a discipline, a habit, of devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching through the week. What happened to the early church? Those who'd been scattered preached the word wherever they went. If the enemy had stirred up the Jewish leaders to try and extinguish the church, shut down the gospel, silence the word of Jesus, he failed. It was too late. You know, in COVID situations, if the disease is out and about and someone's got it, if they don't catch that person quickly and identify their contacts, by the time they do, it's too late because they've spread it and the people they spread it to have spread it and you can't stop it. That's what happened with the word of God at the very beginning. The enemies tried to shut it down and they failed because every believer was sharing the word with others and you couldn't hold it back. It was too late. The word of the Lord was out, free, powerful, and multiplying. How about us? We have God's word and we have free opportunity at the moment to share it for it to multiply. We need to make the most of it. Do we know the truth that sets us free? In Paul's imagery in Ephesians chapter 6, one of the letters at the end of the Bible, it talks about the armour of God. And I always have a belt on a pair of trousers. Don't have braces. I have a belt. And it's told in the armour there, do you have the belt of truth buckled around your waist? The belt was the piece of equipment that everything else was attached to. That's why the belt of truth had to be in place. If the belt of truth is in place, all the other armour can be in place. We can be protected if we have the belt of truth on. If we don't, we are exposed. The breastplate of righteousness that says you are right with God. God's grace has made you righteous through faith. We don't have that on. It's flapping about all over the place. We don't have the belt of truth on. Do we have the sword of the Spirit in our hand? Those who know their Bibles, what is the sword of the Spirit? Louder, come on. Even with muffled masks. Let's say it again. The sword of the Spirit is the
Word of God.
Excellent. The Word of God. In our hand, ready to fight the enemy and set the captives free. It is a great delight. I'm sure many of you had it when you speak to someone who is caught up and bound by wrong beliefs about themselves or someone else or something. It's great to cut off those ropes, those binds that are there by the truth of God. That's what we have it for. Not just for ourselves, but to set others free. Do we know God's word so that when temptation comes, we can reply as Jesus did, it is written. Can we speak God's word into situations? Releasing signs, wonders, and miracles. If we have God's word in us, we can pray. David will be talking about that next week. We also need to know the apostles' teaching, devote ourselves to it, so we know salvation for ourselves and for others. What happened at the end of that passage that Dennis read? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's what happens when you devote yourself to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to fellowship, to breaking of bread. Other people are saved. An important question, a very simple answer, but it's not a silly question. Do we want to see people saved?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, David, because at many times in my life, and in many times in many, maybe some of you or our church's life, well, I'm not bothered either way, actually. By my actions, I'm not bothered either way. Do we want to see people saved? From addictions, from sin, from death, and hell. There isn't enough passion for the lost. I read some of the classic books and so on of different Christians and so on, and you hear of them weeping over the lost in their town. You just have to stand outside here and you see the lost just walking right past the door. Are we bothered? I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First the Jew, then for the Gentile. We need to know the apostles' teaching, the gospel of Jesus, to see people saved. Whether that's people we know very well or people we don't know. Many of us are concerned for our families who are not yet in the kingdom, who are facing a lost eternity, separated from God. And particularly if they live elsewhere, in our hearts, we want somebody near them, whether it's Cambridge or Birmingham or South Wales or everywhere. Wouldn't it be great if someone from a church near them prayed for them and accosted them in the street one day under God's Spirit and actually had a good conversation and gave them a gospel? Would that be good? Would it be good if someone did something for our relatives? Well, don't you think that someone in Birmingham and Cambridge and South Wales is hoping that someone in Paignton will do that for their son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, who it is here. And then teaching. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Who sees himself as a teacher? Who does God see as a teacher? It's everybody. It's everybody. But you think, well, what am I going to teach? You share God's word. You only need one verse of the Bible to be a teacher. Who at the moment doesn't think themselves as a teacher? Lots of you put your hand up. Joan, can you tell me one Bible verse, please? And I'll put you on the spot. Any will do. For he did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Joan, if you share that scripture, which you have done now, but if you do it again, you have become a teacher. In that sense, there are people with a gift, a ministry of teaching, absolutely. But we are all called to teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Because we devoted ourselves to the apostles' teaching. You try and be a teacher when you haven't devoted yourselves to the apostles' teaching, you will mislead people. But we can share what God's given us. So, today we are blessed with so many ways that we can be devoted to the apostles' teaching. I said about we mustn't fall into the trap of thinking this is the only place, 10:30 on a Sunday morning, in this building or another building, that's the only time we're devoted to the apostles' teaching. That's not enough. That's not going to sustain us, and it's not going to equip us to bless others. So we can read the Bible at home. Who has a Bible at home in modern translation? Hillary's got several extra. She's going to bring them next time. If you haven't got a Bible in modern translation that you're reading, then take one from here. You can read the Bible in family groups. When you're putting the children to bed, or when you have the grandchildren, you can pray, you can read the Bible with them. We read a Bible story every night with Maria, our daughter, older daughter. The problem was, it was always the same one. She wanted Noah. And as I've said to you before, we had to say, right, okay, how do we get around this? Right, there's the rainbow. What does that mean? God always keeps his promises. Right, now let's move on to the next story. And so, and now we still know. Maria knows that God always keeps his promises. Every time she sees a rainbow. Because we did that. So whatever it works, as a family, devote yourself to the apostles' teaching. You can do that through the internet, through the TV, the radio, phoning people up, writing letters. Whatever it might be, let's just do it. There are so many different ways we could do it. We need to be devoted and, you know, building your house on a rock takes a bit of effort. It's not a spade in the sand job. At times it could be a bit of a hammer on the rock job. But let's do it. There's no better blessing for our everyday life than God's word. On the tables outside, there's a small table in the vestibule, and there's also one at the crossing centre, I've put some Bible reading material, whether it's the Bible itself, New Testament Psalms, a Bible in a year, which has a reading for every year, some notes, lots of different things. You can't pause and look at them, so you're going to have to grab and go, all right? So God's Spirit will guide you, but if you have got a bit bored with the Bible, and we all get bored with the Bible, it's absolutely true, if we don't know where to start reading the Bible, where do we go? You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke or John, one of the Gospels. It's a good place to start. And ask the Holy Spirit to breathe new life. But you may find it helpful to take a different translation or a different book, something different from the table. There's also the UCB Bible notes on the normal little table as well. Today could be a new beginning for reading God's Word. God doesn't say, well, it's about time. He says, great. I've got things to say to you. I've got life to give you. So let's do it. Let's pray. Jesus, we know that your word is spirit and life. It's full of treasure for real life, to give us faith, to overcome, to bless, to share the gospel. Lord, forgive us where we have been lazy, where we have allowed confusion or ignorance just to swamp us and not to go any further. Help us where we've become dry and unimaginative, where we're bored of your word. It seems very irreverent to say that, but Lord, we know it can be true. Lord, I pray that you'd pour fresh life of your spirit into us today. Help us to devote ourselves to your word, to the apostles' teaching, that we may be alive and givers of life. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys, could you wave your pictures? Could you show your pictures? Do you want to? You can show them really well to people if you're not. Oh, good, excellent. Good, well, there. Thank you, Taya. So we've got excellent, very good. These are really good pictures. Thank you. Can you turn them around so that everyone else can see them? Can you turn them around, Connie? Yeah, excellent. Thank you very much. Round of applause for our children. Thank you. Now we're going to pray for you because this is not just an activity. You're, how old are you, Connie?
Five.
Taya? How old are you?
Eight.
And Paul? Six. Five, six, and eight. Your life is just starting. Your life is just starting. What you've drawn, what you've put on that page, is saying, for the whole of your life, for the rest of your life, it is secure on a foundation if it's built on what Jesus says. All sorts of other people are going to say all sorts of other things that do not agree with Jesus. Okay? Mum and Dad are helping you. Others are helping you. But you've got to decide for yourself. Am I going to build my life on Jesus? On the rock? Or am I going to go for the easy option? Go with the flow. Everybody else is doing. And it'll be the sand. And boom, when troubles come. So you've got to make that decision. And as you go home with these pictures, you can talk to Mum and Dad about that. But we're going to pray for you now. And if you want to stretch out a hand towards our children and those who are listening at home, if anyone's listening at home, we're going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for Connie and Taya and Paul. I thank you they're here. I thank you they're in homes who honour you and your word. I pray you bless them with sight, with faith, to know that your word is true. And that if they build their lives on your word, they will be strong and secure forever. And they will be able to cope with all the stuff that happens. Pray that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would come upon them today and every day. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for letting us pray for you. Before we come to our final song, let's pray for others that need God's word, need to believe God's word, whoever that might be. Lord, we know there are many of our children who have drawn pictures of this story, who have heard it, acted it out, and they've made that choice not to obey your word, not to put it into practice, for lots of different reasons. And we have no condemnation, accusation, judgment on them at all. We know that you love them and you're calling them back to you. This word was given to children and to adults when you first spoke it. And so, Lord, we pray for our children, particularly our adult children, and ask that they will come to their senses, open their eyes, open their ears, to come back to you, to build their life on the rock. Amen.
Father, I would pray for our grandson and his partner.
Mark and Peter, as they bring up their little one, Peter. I pray, Lord, that you would work your way back into Mark's life, to be brought up in the church, and know all these stories that have been talked about this morning. And yet at the moment, it seems a long way away from you. But Lord, I pray that you will just draw them unto you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray for our son John, whom I live with at the moment, and our daughter Louise, and her husband Alex, and Eva, and I pray for them to come to know the Lord as their Lord and Saviour. That before they die, they come to know you, Lord. It may not be in my lifetime, but just live with you. Thanks, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray for the Queen, and we thank you for her grand foundation in you.
Yes, ma'am.
We pray for all the royal families, that they've been taught, and many of them have wandered away. Lord, bring them back to yourself, and bless them today. Amen.
Amen. Lord, I pray that you would show us, as a church going forward, how we can be disciples who are making disciples. We thank you for what you have planned for the rest of this year, and we give ourselves to it for your glory and for the joy and salvation of the people around us here. Amen. So we sing our final song, or hum our final song, Father of Creation. Often this song will be sung at the beginning of a service, but it's particularly appropriate at the end of a service. Father of creation, unfold your sovereign plan. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Do remember to grab and go as you leave those books that are there. Thank you.